Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. In tonight's enlightening episode, we delve into the timeless virtues of wisdom and patience, exploring how they together can empower our spiritual growth and bring us closer to our true selves. As we navigate the complexities of our modern world, it's through the cultivation of wisdom and patience that we find the keys to unlocking our inner peace and harmony. Join Douglas as he shares his profound insights on how these virtues can guide us through life's challenges, allowing us to harness our innate spiritual power and ascend to the higher levels of consciousness. Discover how wisdom and patience can serve as guiding lights on your path to spiritual growth and self-discovery. We'll journey together as we seek to unveil the boundless potential of our spirits and embark on a transformative voyage into the depths of our souls. This is a pre-recorded version of the Global Village Radio Show, and we won't be taking phone calls during tonight's episode. Now, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And we have 24 people here tonight. This is good. Patty, I think one thing I'd like to remind you, if I was talking to somebody and they said we had people from Australia as well as Peru and I think Spain, I didn't know that the people were from Australia that were on Sunday service or wherever they are. So we want to make part of that you can tell everybody when people are from faraway places that you can, make some announcement of today we have people from some continent or some place, just as an FYI. Okay. Can you do that? Do you know where people are from?
No, I don't know where they're from.
Okay.
Jesus had said something when he talked, so we knew he was from Peru, and there was of course, you know the lady from Spain, but all I know is what you see here on the screen, people's names. And for example, Bridge 1, Zoom Bridge 2 and all, I've asked them through the chat what their name is, but I haven't received anything.
Well, we discussed that earlier today. This is a test. Those are test names.
Oh, okay.
You see Jack smiling away there? It's all his responsibility.
It's my fault. Don't worry about those guys. They're not really people.
I'm taking them off the attendance.
Good thing. Good thing you brought that up, Patty. Okay. So we're about 10 minutes after the hour. Some people still come in at 7:30, some people at 7. And so again, to lessen confusion and things like that, we'll have a clergy meeting or a housekeeping meeting on what to do. This is my brand new camera here. It has a little flap. I don't know if you can see. It's got like a little plastic flap. It's more high tech than this one. I used to use to put over the camera. So that's why you're seeing the detail here. And in the meeting we had earlier today, earlier today, I put this up and I'm getting texts. You're back, Paul. Okay, so we're up. So
I can tell you one thing tonight. We have a new person, Stephen. He was joined us tonight.
Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Everybody say hi, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Stephen.
There you go. So if you can keep your video camera off, it's okay. Sometimes reception is better in that way, but what can I little experiment now? Everybody say the Mary had a little lamb asleep, so let it snow. On three, ready? One, two, three. Mary had a little lamb.
Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
So, gentlemen, somebody suggested we say the Lord's Prayer in unison or all together, which I think we should do. It's a good idea. But it doesn't sound like it's going to work with everybody having their mic open. So, hi, Vivian. Okay, Stephen, it's Alan, Marie, Humberto, and Santiago. Yeah, okay, so everybody's kind of chiming in. So we'll talk a little bit more about being part of our community and the websites. I'd like to, I know we're putting them in the chat, and so every time there's a little improvement, it really is helpful. Where we're putting the websites and the emails to connect, we'll put them in the chat again, and then we'll redundantly put them in every so often because somebody told me that they keep moving up and not everybody can see that information. After a few moments, it disappears. And I just learned a little while ago that you can independently chat to one another, send, you know, a greeting or something to one another. I just learned that today. And so we encourage that. I'd like you to introduce yourself a little bit in the chat. Feel free to do that. On the Wednesday nights, this is a community get together. We were calling it a search for God, but I think that's a misnomer. I think we're going to do more like a community get together in which we can discuss housekeeping, discuss things that are of concern to the community, and also to do a little teaching as well. The plan here and the overview for all of us is you're here for some reason. I'd like to know what that is, but I don't want you to dump it all on me tonight. But I would like to know, and so that you can have you can get achievements or have some form of accomplishment that we can aim for as a community or individuals. And Doug has been doing very well in organizing things, and on Wednesday, on after service, the social there is going well. And so we want to streamline it so that we can get two things accomplished. One is that we are the best of the best of the best at our service in reaching out to the world. And secondly, I'm expecting all of you, every single last one of you, to develop your intuition, your spiritual gifts, your progress. And the only way that's going to happen is if we have some objective and some direction and we have some system. I'm an impatient fellow, always have been. And so I was a jump right in and let me work it out. And that's how I find my way. I didn't learn what I have found out esoterically. I did come across esoteric wisdom and knowledge on my travels, but I'm a more experiential, jump in hands-on. That's me. Some people are more cautious and they like to pragmatically go through things. Some people are like me. Some people are wiser than me. I just happen to have a thick skull and I didn't break my head banging it up against those spiritual walls from time to time, but it woke me up. So that's kind of the objective that we're here. And the only way we can improve, I should be looking at the camera. The only way we can improve is for you to communicate with us. I don't want you to be intellectually lazy. I don't want you to be spiritually lazy. I don't want you to be taking a back seat and letting everybody go forward, because the kids at the back of the class didn't learn what the kids at the front of the class learned. And I used to be a kid that used to sit about four seats back. And then I decided to sit up in the front row and my learning abilities improved. I'm a little dyslexic, so I had spelling problems. That was always a self-conscious thing, but I blow through right that. I would write things out in a way that I could understand. And I learned how to spell words differently. But the point being is that that's applying to what you're doing. And that's what this is all about on Wednesday nights. So basically from here on in, we're going to have a topic for Wednesdays. And then on Sundays, we'll have a sermon that will be meaningful. And then I expect you to discuss it with each other. I don't want you holding back. There's no such question that's a little one or a stupid one or a dumb one. If you don't understand, don't stay silent. Put your hand up and say, well, this might sound really stupid, but... Because I'm that kind of person. I would, in school, I used to hold back because I didn't want anybody to think I was dumb. And then one or two times I did that, I put my hand up and I said, blah, 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 blah. Everybody around me had the same question in their mind, but they were shy. And so I became bold and I would say something dumb. Everybody laugh, but I got my answer. When I didn't ask, I went home confused. And the answer didn't come to me later. I was still confused. So in my spiritual path, this is the process I endured. I wasn't afraid to stand up and ask the obvious or to ask a dumb question because I didn't understand. It's funny how when you pay money for things that you don't mind asking the question. It's when things are free, you kind of sit back. So the point being is value is value is value. I can show you, I can teach you, but I cannot understand it for you. Only you can understand. And so by virtue of when I say something, you don't quite get it. Of course not, because it's new. It's not in your mind yet. You haven't molded over, digested it, dissected it, take it apart, put it back together again, and had that aha moment. Now you get it, because that aha moment's in the future. But right now, when I say something, to me it's obvious, but to you it's a little unfamiliar because it's new. So this is when a group discussion takes place. Try not to make it into the wee hours of the morning, because this is something you get people together at a seminar or you get them at the retreat or you get them sitting around the campfire. It's 2-3 o'clock in the morning, right? Yeah, I can see some of you nodding your heads. It's exactly the way it is. That was one of the wisdoms that my teacher, Ross Peterson, said when we were at his place. And it was about 10, 11 o'clock at night. We're all going back to the cabins. And he said, now, don't stay up all night talking psychic stuff. Get some rest. Well, of course, it didn't happen. Patience is a virtue. Patience is the way. Patience is the mortar between the bricks. It takes time for those spiritual truths to solidify and to grip the brick and become part of the wall. How many times have you found yourself or heard somebody else regurgitating somebody else's wisdom? I read it in a book. The group says, that's what I heard. When I have people say those things to me in class, I turn it around and I say, so what do you think? How do you know that? Defend it. It's not a PhD program. You don't have to defend it that to that extent, but defend what you said. If the person can't do that, then I know they're regurgitating somebody else's words. Not bad, but it's not the whole understanding. And so as we go through these Wednesday nights, I want you to be able to say, I'm not quite sure what he meant. I'll think about it and then let it set. And then when somebody comes up to you and said, so, you can say, well, this is what I think Douglas meant. This is what our community teaches based on his wisdom, knowledge, and experience. This is what I'm adding to it, because you can only talk about your personal experiences. You can't talk about mine. And in doing so, you'll be able to defend whatever you say. That's wisdom. Knowledge plus experience equals wisdom. There's nothing else, no other way. I'm willing to spend time with you because it's really important. It's really important. Because where the world is going in the next little while is going to depend on us and people like us and emissaries and people at a distance who are associated with us and other groups who are just like you. It's urgent. So as you may think of yourself as being curious about spiritual matters, or perhaps you're a little intuitive yourself, perhaps a lot, you are not me. I am not you. Where I have been, you want to go. And I'm willing to show you the way, but I cannot take your steps for you. You have to do that yourself, of course. But you're going to need support, because there are forces of light and there are forces of darkness. And it's the job of those two forces to struggle and push and pull you so that you can advance. And at the end of the journey, at the end of the hallway, at the end of the path, this is the way. The light and darkness are going to shake hands and say, congratulating each other, we got him here. We got her here. You ever think of that? So getting back to my point is that this is what we're doing on Wednesday nights, and this is what we're doing after service on Sundays. And as you become more participatory in what you're doing, you'll be uplifted and your spiritual development will be automatic. In other words, you're on a path that you can't help yourself. It's not a slippery slope. It's a path. And if you stand still, nobody worries about that. If you take a couple of fast steps, that's okay. If you run, that's okay. But I will tell you what my teachers told me. Reverend Alec Holmes, Ross Peterson, go slow. I didn't, of course. And more than likely, you won't either. But if you go slow and you're on that path taking the trip, you enjoy two things. One, the ultimate arrival at your destination, but also you get to enjoy the trip along the way and you see a lot more. That's wisdom. Now, a lot of things I say are new, or maybe not. Maybe they're controversial, maybe not. Maybe you've heard them before and they even sound a little boring. Or maybe I'm saying something that somebody else has said, a teacher or somebody that you've listened to, and it's a little different. Well, whatever it is, I used to have those questions like you have, and I said, what's the truth? And I came up with this picture in my mind that I had a big board game. And the board game was one of those puzzles, you know, you put the puzzles together. And I came to this conclusion that if it was truth, it would fit into the other pieces of the puzzle. If it didn't, I didn't throw it away. I just put it on the shelf and I waited for someday to see if it would fit in. And on occasion it did. And because somebody says something or you hear something that might sound at first outrageous, who cares? Does it work for you? Make it happen. If it doesn't work for you, well, doesn't work for me. Different strokes, different folks. The universe throws stuff at you, and then you should see it as when you take a stone and you throw it in the water in the pond, and the ripples start to come, and they expand out. And that's how truth comes to you, in ripples. The little ripples aren't that important. It's the big one that you're looking for. And you won't know it's a big one until you go through the little ones. That's why you need to go slow. Because at a certain point, you are vulnerable. And you might go off on a little ripple and get sidetracked, distracted, disappointed, discouraged. You'll quit. That's okay because you're not ready. You don't deserve to go on. It's your responsibility. And if you get dissuaded, you're not ready. I'm not here to graduate you. But if you want to be part of our clergy, you want to be part of our community, and you want to know where you're getting or how or what you're achieving, what you tell us, I'm listening very carefully, and I'm going to listen to the experiences you have. And when you have an experience that I recognize, I can say, okay, you just made a step up the ladder. And that's how God works. Anybody get a graduation certificate from the Almighty? No. Have you got certificates and diplomas and whatever from other people? Of course. You're in a different school. The rules are different. And part of those rules are watching out for yourself. You don't care who's in the White House. You care about who's in your house. You don't care what other people are saying or doing. You're disinterested, more exactly. But you're very interested in yourself. That's how your soul mind watches you. It's like piggybacking. Have you ever got a slap in the face from your soul? Have you ever been admonished, criticized, yelled at by your soul? No, you have not. Because your soul is wise enough to go along for the ride, waiting till you get it. You're the apprentice. The apprentice makes mistakes. The master has to wait. And every so often, the master gives a little nudge, and the apprentice improves. My mentor, Ross Peterson, explained it this way. To be a good teacher, pretend you're a golf instructor, and somebody comes out to play golf, and they get up on the little practice tee, and they got the club in their hand, they got the ball on the tee, they're looking around. Everybody's kind of spreading away from them a little bit because they know that that person with the club's going to be a little wild at first. And they start swinging and they're knocking balls this way and that way and over here and they're dribbling off. It's a mess. But what does the wise instructor do? Out of the 77 errors they're making, pick out one. And they concentrate on that one error until they get it right. No more problem. Okay, on to the next. And eventually, those 77 constant errors will be reduced down to two or three. And they'll enjoy the game. But most importantly, they'll be enthusiastic to continue because they felt achievement and advancement. So where I'm going with this, as part of our community, we will encourage you. We will not admonish you. We'll not make you go on strict diets or practice celibacy or meditate for 8 hours at a time or be silent for a weekend or punish yourself because you made a fupa. We won't do any of that. We will make the attempt to be good teachers and not to be hypocritical and do that stuff ourselves, but we are human. And that's the first thing you need to say to yourself. I'm human. I don't know a human being yet that got everything right the first time. So you're able to do what? You're able to be patient. You're able to be fatherly or motherly to yourself and forgive yourself. And you're willing to make mistakes because you know making mistakes is the key to success. If you're not afraid to make mistakes, you're going to be successful. If you're afraid to make mistakes, give up. But you're not. And then that overview, you know, that consciousness that's above you, you can call it divine. You can call it whatever you want because names don't really matter that much. Matter of fact, sometimes they're a distraction and a diversion. That cloud of virtue energy guides you along no matter what. And you have to go along. You must progress. This is the way. And how do I know that? Well, there was a man who said that he was reincarnated here. He did not want to come back. He was up in heaven, and he did not want to come back to this place at all. How many times have you heard people say that? I'm not coming back here. I don't like this place. Well, he was one of those guys. And he remembered being up in heaven and four angels coming up and saying to him, you've been up here too long. Time to go down. And they grabbed him, as he said, by arms and legs, but I don't know if they have arms and legs up there, but they grabbed him. They came down and they pushed him into a baby. And they hung on to him. This is what he told me. They pushed me in the body and they kept me there until I couldn't get out. I was sealed in. Wow. Think about that. Sealed in, can't get out. And of course, the man when I met him was an electrician, very successful, had a family, wife, and a son. And he still did not want to be here. I learned from his candid conversation that there is a divine unifying force. And if you get a little spiritually lazy, whoever those four angels were, they did something for him or to him for his own good. Always remember that we as a group have to get somewhere, the Christos, the end of the path, as a group, the same group that left. That was called the sin of separation. Now we're getting back. We all want to go back because we realized, what was I thinking? I had it all and I left home. Just like the kid that goes off to university, can't wait to get out of the house on his own. Oh my God, things were so good. Mom made my dinner. I had clothes and laundry. You know, Dad had a roof over the house. I got to juice Dad's car. What was I thinking? Well, in a way, that's what your soul gets to that point where it starts to turn around and it wants to go home. The rules are you left as a group, you come back as a group. And this is why a community is necessary to support each other. So as a group in all the world, we'll get it. Some are a little further down the path. Some are languishing. Some don't want to go along, but they're going to be forced. And eventually we'll all get to where we're going to go, which is where we've been, which is the Christos or home. But don't be in a hurry. Plenty of time. This life that we're living is like one breath in the life of the soul. No need to hurry. Words my mentor told me. I didn't believe him. I do now. I attempt to follow that. But here we are talking and conversing about worldly things, about the universe, about dimensions, about spiritual practices, universal law, the development of your intuition and your spirituality so that you know you're on the path, because you have to have evidence. If you don't have evidence of your spiritual beliefs, your abilities, or your soul, it's all academic. It's all conjecture. It's all guesswork. And for most people, they present themselves as Christians or Muslims or Jews or whatever else. Those other religions, including mine, it's in your heart. And your heart doesn't speak words. Your heart feels words, feels thoughts. And if you have evidence of your spiritual prowess, ability, capability, truths, understanding, then you'll be enthusiastic to continue, because there's always more. If not, then you'll be a holy moly, holy roller, whatever terms we used to say in school, and I'm not trying to be demeaning to anybody here. The point being is you'll be all mouth and no heart. There are many spiritually endowed people, as they will proclaim themselves, and they give lip service to their spiritual truths or beliefs, which is okay, because at least they're on the way. Well, what really comes to the point is living your truths, living what you know to be spiritually correct. And that's hard. It's real hard, because who are you attempting to impress? Yourself. Who are you letting down? Yourself. So this is why a community is necessary. When you get weak and frail and sick and sad, you can call up and complain to somebody in the community. They might not be able to fix you up, but at least they can listen. And that might be enough. And when we go out into the world and we see people who are unfortunately suffering in the world, they're poor, they're homeless, whatever, we can give them some dignity. We can ask them their name. We can say hello. We can give them $10 instead of 10 cents. And for people that come your way, they knock on your door, you're obligated to help them. If they reach their hand out to you, you're obligated to put a coin in their hand. How much you do, that's up to you. So as you begin to see these practices that are logical, they're spiritual, you begin to walk in the paths of Yeshua, the Christ, Jesus the Christ. And as you do that, you know what happens? More. First, you experience coincidence. He wasn't that lucky. We needed a parking spot, and there it was. Somebody comes over and says, here, I don't need this anymore. Do you use it? That's just what I needed. I was going to buy that today. Or somebody will call you up on the phone and say, how are you doing? And they'll say, oh, I'm feeling crappy. I just lost my job. Well, tell me about it. Onward and upward. And those are the words, the first words when somebody says to me, I just got fired. That's what I say. I smile and I go onward and upward. And they're shocked in a nice way. And they go, Douglas, I just lost my job. And I said, no, you didn't. You just changed your job. What do you mean changed? Well, you're not going to work there anymore, are you? No, you're going to work someplace else, right? Yeah, you changed your job. What a difference. This is the wisdom I've come to understand over my life. Not because I read it in a book. I've never been fired. I've quit. That one and only job I quit from, everybody thought I was crazy. I made more money than my family doctor. I had a professional job in the newspaper. And I went in to become the psychic guy. I just changed employers, put it that way. So this is what the community is all about. because you're all going to have those difficult times in your life. And if you didn't have those difficult times in your life, you know what would be happening to you? You'd be sitting still. You'd be nothing. And you'd be sitting there wondering, what's life all about? Remember, the yin and yang, the good and evil, Jesus and the devil, they're there pushing and pulling you back and forth as you continue to take your steps and struggle through this world. And at the end of the path, they're going to take credit for helping you get to where you're supposed to be. Because of us, he or she got there. And you see, when you get there, there's no false pride. There's no uncertainty. There's no doubt. You know and feel the accomplishment. You've arrived. The puzzle is together, and you know the truth. What do you think you do next? You take my place, and you start helping other people put their puzzles together. And that's how our community expands. That's how our tribe expands. That's how our clan expands. The reason I'm talking to you like this tonight is that we're doing this test, and this is just off the cuff, but I want you to read Matthew 24, verses 3 to 31. In the King James Version, Matthew 24, verses 3 to 31. In this passage, Jesus provides an overview of the signs and events leading up to his second coming. And there are several points. I'm not going to go into them tonight because we're done the talk. When I was listening to people who I would consider wise, and even when I was in the churches and the Sunday schools, I always considered the second coming as a second awakening of ourselves, the Christ consciousness coming into us. And part of the Yeshua being the name of Christ that he was given, and later it got adulterated and ultimately become Jesus the Christ. For us, as part of our community, we will repeat, or we will combine, or we'll introduce Yeshua the Christ, Jesus the Christ, the same. But as you begin to understand more about the old ways, and I've been directed to look more into the Old Testament now, you're going to find the ancient truths, and we're going to find our way. But by reading Matthew 24, verse 3 to 31, we're going to talk some more about that. I'm going to help you understand that, because it's quite confounding and quite false prophets and false Christs, verses 4 to 5, 11, 23 to 26. Jesus warns that many will come in his name, claiming to be the Christ, and deceive many. False prophets will also rise, performing great signs and wonders to deceive people. That's pretty scary. It's contradictory. It's confusing. And what about people like me? Should you believe me or not? The key is why the person is doing what they're doing. Are they consistent? Are they helping? Because I came across this about Moses and the two serpents taking on Moses, rather, with his staff turning it into a serpent, taking on the two Egyptian magicians with their two staffs, it turned into two snakes. So Egyptians have power metaphysically, man power, if you will. Moses had God's ordained power in him. And this is why in that story, when they were having a confrontation and Ramses had turned his two priest magicians on Moses, that the serpent of Moses gobbled up the two serpents of the magicians. It shows us that we have godlike powers, abilities, etc., but used for the wrong purpose, they're weak. In combination with God, they are powerful. And that's what we're attempting to achieve. To advance to that level of godlikeness. So read that chapter. It's part of how we need to thread the needle in our community. We'll be talking more about those things, as I just said now. Don't be afraid. The second coming is a revelation. The promise is that Jesus will come, I think, at the second coming, verse 30 to 31. He will return in the clouds with power and glory. And he will send his angels to gather the elect from the corners of the earth and heaven. I'm going to tell you more what that means, but not tonight. That's the end of the talk. I hope you've enjoyed it. And I can see all these waves coming off the top of your head here. If you can see auras, you know, it's really interesting to watch people when they're in a class. Have you ever seen pavement on a hot day and you see those little waves? That's people thinking. That's what it looks like. I think you're all thinking that the same way.
We're going to take a short break here on the Global Village Radio Show, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Are you ready to experience life-changing wisdom, spiritual insights, and transformative knowledge? Come to the next Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th at the Holiday Inn Suites Phoenix Airport North with special conference rates for attendees. Go right now to hopeconferences.org for all the details. Powerful healing techniques and spiritual guidance for your personal growth. Interactive questions and answers with Douglas James Cottrell and other experts. Insights into coming global events and predictions through a spiritual lens. The Hope Conference brings together like-minded people to provide them with the tools they need to unlock their full potential. Come to the Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th. Go now to hopeconferences.org. That's hopeconferences.org for all the details.
Getting beaten up in life? Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice.
back to Dr. Douglas James Cottrell on the Global Village Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're delving into the timeless virtues of wisdom and patience, exploring how they can empower our spiritual growth and bring us closer to our true selves. We're not taking phone calls tonight, as this show is recorded Wednesday night during our regular Zoom community call. Now, here's our host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
We have 27 souls on board tonight. And so far, I think the test on the recording, oh, I forgot, I have this scene behind me. I was on page two. This is me next week or the week after. Or maybe the week after that, I don't know. Okay, so I'll spend a little time with questions. Anybody have a question? Just turn on your, I think you can press your space bar or turn on your mic. Or unmute yourself, I mean to say.
Does it have to be a question or can we just say a comment?
I don't know. What do you think?
I'm going to say a comment. Thank you, Douglas. I just want to say thank you, and it's a pleasure to meet everybody. And for you, Douglas, I want to say thank you for everything you're doing, and I really appreciate it, you know, and my wife appreciates it too.
Where are you, Larry?
I'm here in Anaheim, California.
Well, must be like 90 degrees there today.
That's why I'm wearing my tank top.
Yeah. This is cool. We're at about 40 degrees here where I am. And we were talking to Jack, who's in Arizona, at about 88 degrees today. Yeah. So that's cool. Listen, thank you very much for your comments. I'm hoping, I saw you were paying strict attention to me. So I'm glad that, well, thank you very much for what you said. I appreciate it. We're going to send out applications to be part of our community. And we'd like everybody here to sign up. So far, it's free. Of course, donations are welcome to help the two many mansions in the States and many mansions in Canada. And somebody will put the websites and or the email addresses or many mansions in the in either country. The way it's going to work is International School of the Prophets is the seminary, and so that's going to be like the parent organization of the many mansions facilities, and that could be in different states, different countries. So that's kind of how we're putting it together, and then. We have our Hope conferences coming up, and I'll be in Arizona. Good Lord willing, Memorial Weekend, or May 24, as we call it up here. I know that sounds like a case of beer, and that's exactly why I got named May 24, because it was a long weekend. Barbecues and beer go together, so why not May 24? So, but we hope to be in Arizona, and if you can make it, great. There's more information on the website. It's either official hopeconferences.org or just official or just hopeconferences.org. Thank you very much, Larry, for your comments. They're very meaningful. I work for love, not money. Most of everybody. Mark is a member of the board. Reverend Douglas is the president and the board of directors. Tim is a director. I'm looking for other people who are past directors here, like Ann and Malcolm. I don't see them here tonight. But you have the board of directors for many mansions, spiritual centers in Canada. And then we have Paul and Jack helping with the official conferences, and a special thank you to Patty, who's been very hard keeping attendance, and also our good friend Joe, who is offered to be a counselor, and I guess that might be in the website or in the chat on how to get a hold of minimansions.helpline@gmail.com. And it wouldn't hurt just to send out an email to put your contact information or be in the contacts of our organizations. We are talking to people in Dubai, Peru, and Spain, and other places who would like to be formally associated with us. Questions?
You mentioned
that. Okay, let's go to Thomas.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
I was just going through your website again, and I cannot find the link like it used to be for donations. That's one thing. And second thing, I made donation in the past, but now I'm willing to make a bigger donation. And last time I didn't receive like any confirmation that you guys receive it. Are you guys like sending confirmation that you receive it? I wanna send and make sure that it gets in the right hands.
Perfect question, Thomas. We love those kinds of problems. We'll try to solve them. Were you sending it to, was it a email transfer, or were you looking for the PayPal button?
I think last time I used PayPal, but now I was looking on through the app, and I was looking to your website, and I didn't see.
So the on the minimansionscenters.org, there is a PayPal button. Otherwise, if you make an email, go to your bank and then do an e-transfer, you can go to minimansions144@gmail.com, or you can go to looking for the other one. Looking for the one in the U.S. I think that's, is that Mini Mansions, Jack? Or, well, Jack and Paul are busy, so we'll get.
I put the email in the chat.
Yeah, which one is it for Mini Mansions USA? Oh, there it is. mmsc.usa@gmail.com. mmsc.usa@gmail.com, and you can make a direct deposit through that one that goes into the American Mini Mansions. Would that help you, Thomas? Or Thomas, would that help you? Or no? Or the PayPal button? Yeah, Thomas? Which one? Where are you, Thomas? What are you?
In the United States, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay, so if you wanted to do, the only way you can donate money there is mmsc.usa@gmail.com through bank transfer. And,
okay, can you guys put this on the chat, please? I don't want to make any mistakes.
It is there.
There is in the chat the link to minimansionscenters.org and other things.
I don't see anything in the chat right now. I was just disconnected. I just connected again, so my chat is empty right now.
Okay.
Patty, could you put that the whole list of links in there again for Thomas and anybody else who just came in?
Okay. That was quick. Can you see that, Thomas? No. It's about half down to you. Or USA wish to contribute, send you transfer. The MMSC.USA.
Can I just interject there? I was going to say, through the bank's the best way to do it. It's easiest. It goes through right away.
Mark?
It's easier through the bank.
Yeah.
You mean like through the Zelle? And just put the email address?
Yeah, that's the
one. Or PayPal, and then put the email address.
Well, the PayPal won't work right now. It's on the Canadian one, and the money won't go across the border.
I mean, last time I remember, it was kind of showing exchange, and was asking if I want to pay for the fee or so. That was looking for.
Yeah. So if you go through the email address or the store or whatever, there's no deduction and it goes straight through. Okay, what?
So the many mentions 144 at gmail.com, right?
No, for you in America, it's MMSD.
Oh, I see.
Okay. USA at Gmail.
Yes.
That's the one you use. There's no there's no deduction, and it goes straight into the bank account.
So you use this email to the Zelle from the bank or through the PayPal?
There's no PayPal at this point for the
okay.
just
so US.
Otherwise, okay. My email address is at the bottom, you know, when it's been up and going to my bank account by mistake, what the heck?
Just to reiterate, if you are in the United States and you wish to make a contribution, it's mmsc.usa@gmail.com. It goes directly into the bank account. If you are in Canada, it's manymansions144 at gmail.com. So
okay.
Depending where you live. And it, as Mark has pointed out, it's extremely easy and it is, of course, very much appreciated.
Okie dokie, thank you.
Well, that was a really important topic. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. All the money goes in to pay for the expansion and the equipment. I bought this camera myself. I'm not ever going to get reimbursed for it. So anyway, just to let you know, we all put the money in towards the greater good, and we appreciate it as it furthers what we're doing. And I'm very grateful. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Doug, for the comments. Anybody else? We'll take that as a little commercial nudge there, Thomas, for everybody else to put a few dollars in. We will eventually get the PayPal on the Mansions USA when that comes up. But somebody else is working on that. Vivian, what are you thinking about?
Just listening. I used my credit card and I didn't have any problem. So I didn't have to worry about PayPal or anything. So worked for me.
Okay. What I was asking is, what are you thinking about? Because you were look like it's either, you know, never.
Just off. Just off into Never Never Land. I don't know.
in deep thought. Okay. Anybody else? Nice to see you, Vivian.
I had a question. You're talking about Matthew. He mentioned something to bring the sword out. Is that to kill everybody or to?
Yeah. I need a little bit more information. I don't think I met Matthew carrying a sword. It was his. Was he live in Oshawa or something or what?
No, it's from the Bible.
Oh, that guy, that Matthew. A little more information, Mark. I'm playing with you a little bit. What do you mean he took the sword out? What was he doing?
I'm not quite sure, but I remember somebody telling me about it, that to bring the sword out against the evildoers or whatever.
Well, okay. Well, I'm not sure what chapter or verse you're referring to, but the sword is always used as a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. So when you bring the sword out, you have to watch that you don't harm yourself. You know, it cuts both ways. So to go and say something like, start a rumor about somebody and say, you know, they're so blah, 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 and they think they're so wonderful and, you know, and they're so full of themselves, whatever. Well, to turn that around and say, well, why are you upset at that person? Because part of our teachings is that what you see in somebody else, you recognize in yourself. And so by making comments about somebody to the same emotional degree, that's what you see in yourself as you're recognizing in somebody else. So in that That's why we have a one of our working tools, we have three, was a plastic double-edged sword. And it cuts both ways. And that's one of the spiritual indicators that if what you see in somebody else you don't like or what you like, that is inside of you to the same emotional intensity. Now, that might be what that's referring to, but to say just a couple of words, Mark, I'm pulling your leg a little bit. I need a little more information, but that's what comes to my mind when you said that. Now, remember, when Jesus was being arrested in the Bible, he was in the garden and he knew they were coming to arrest him to take him to his ultimate execution. He tried to keep his best buddies awake and alert, and they didn't. They were snoozing. In came the Pharisees with the soldiers, and they put the arm on Yeshua, and they took him off to jail. And when they came into the garden, his disciples woke up, and one of them took a sword and cut the ear off of one of the soldiers. Immediately, Jesus grabbed the ear and healed the ear back on the soldier's ear, head. And he admonished him and saying, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That does not mean that you cannot defend yourself. What it means is if you're living by violence, then violence will come to you. And again, it's kind of the double-edged sword. If your truth and your faith is in your weapon, then that's what's going to kill you as well. If your faith is in God and the universe, then you need the weapon to defend yourself in certain circumstances, but you don't need it to defend yourself by killing somebody else or putting your trust in the sword. If you don't have the sword, you're vulnerable. We can move that up in time and say guns. People have to have a gun. They have to have it with them all the time. They have to put it in their purse, put it in their pocket, in their suit jacket. They have to have a gun. That means their faith is in that gun, not God. Holy men don't carry guns. Holy women don't carry God. Their faith is in God. And at the time that Jesus was on trial, he hadn't said much. And the judge leaned over and said, what's the matter with you? You're not saying anything. Don't you know we have the power of life and death over you? And he admonished the court by saying, no, you don't. My Father in heaven is the only one that has the power of life and death over me. You do not. And that is the understanding that we're at the disposal of God Almighty. You see, God leads you into those circumstances before you get there. I'll be there in a minute. And that's the thing, you just didn't arrive there. You were taking your steps to get to that confrontation. At some time in my past, just pops in my mind now, people were saying that poor girl, you know, she went down to that place and those guys in the motorcycle shop, they raped her. Oh my gosh, it's so bad. They should all go to jail and be, you know, this, that, and the other thing. What's the real truth? Why did the woman put herself in jeopardy going there in the first place? Okay, she ought not to have gone there. Now, she went there. Maybe she was naive, maybe whatever. And those men took advantage or hurt her or whatever they did. That was wrong. They knew better, but they did it anyway. So stepping back from the whole scenario, this is academically speaking now, unemotional, no judgment of right and wrong. But going back to that moment where somebody said to her, let's go down to that place where all those bad guys are, those rough and tough people, and see what's going on. A wise person says, I don't think so. Fast forward to another circumstance. You're in an underground parking. There's a man walking towards the elevator. He gets on the elevator. You don't like the way the man looks. Do you get on the elevator or not? Do you feel like you don't want to embarrass him, you know? A wise woman, seeing the man walking towards the elevator and nobody else in the underground, would walk back in her car and wait. Unwise woman would go in and get in a confined, closed space with a man she doesn't know and she's already suspecting foul play, and the doors would close. That's not being wise. So I'm being practically spiritual, or spiritual practicality is what I'm suggesting here. To be aware and alert, to be a spiritually aware person, you would recognize these things and not put yourself in jeopardy in the first place. But when you get into jeopardy, you have to look back and say, gee, three times, you know, I couldn't get here. There was somebody taking me away. I lost my keys. There was struggle to get here. That's the universe trying to protect you and hold you back. But if you're in your mind, strong-minded, you're going to do something, you're going to put yourself in jeopardy, okay, there's consequences. That's why I never went bungee jumping in my life. I was smart enough to know that if I jumped off that bridge, all that blood in my body was going to come up and scram into my head, and my eyeballs are going to pop out, and just maybe that bungee cord might break. That little bit of humor aside, but that's how life is. Your awareness tips you off ahead of time. Don't do that. There's a big meal in front of you, and you're biting yourself on your tongue or your lip. What's your subconscious telling you? Don't eat it, or that's enough. Think about that. You ever been doing that? You're eating a meal, you're getting a little full, and all of a sudden you bite yourself, your tongue or your lip. That's your subconscious saying, no more. Okay, five more minutes.
That's very significant from my perspective, because as a spiritual person, now you know you get messages. A lot of people just aren't aware that they're getting messages all the time, and they ignore them to their peril. So on the spiritual path, you know you're getting messages, and I think that's wonderful that Reverend Douglas is pointing this out. Be aware. Take note.
Well, thank you, Doug. I think a lot of our friends here are pretty much up on that. I'm not telling them anything new. People are nodding their
heads. I know, but you can't emphasize it more. You know, it's not just things that happen to you. It's little messages you get in your head, too, you know?
That's right. You're absolutely right, Doug. Absolutely right. Well, we're down to one page here now. You guys are the so-called, what do they call that, diehards or something like that. When I was younger, I always wondered, everybody went home at the party but me. I don't know why I was always the last one to go home. I don't know.
Well, it looks like everybody that's raised their hands must be the shy people. And those who don't have their hands raised are shy, but they're not shy enough to raise their hand.
So tell everybody how that happened, how to do that, Michael.
Okay, for all us who are attenders of this meeting, we raise our hands, and there's a reaction button at the bottom of the screen, or a menu if you are on an iPad or iPhone or Android. And in the menu, it will tell you, raise your hand, lower your hand, and you'll have a whole bunch of emojis you can choose from.
Well, let's stick to one thing. When the reactions I got underneath it, but you raise your hand up, and it's just like, I'm here, and, you know, sort of high five. And also, there's a, what are we doing looking at somewhat? I know somebody came up with another one earlier tonight. I can't find it now, but it was,
Oops.
I noticed on computers it's different. I found that on computers there's a little bar on the bottom that gives you choices.
Yeah. Oh, this was the one there. The little prayer hands there, you know. But, you know, whoops, jumping around here. Thank you very much. So that's how you put the hand up. That's just, you know, you're here, you've been here before. So we're just about at half past. We got another 5 minutes left. Jack, how are we doing? I think you and Paul are working overtime here.
Yeah, we everything looks great. Really good. Paul's just been, we're just on a little learning curve, but it's working perfectly.
Okay. Well,
thank you very much, Thomas. Thank you. Was it easy?
I've been using Zelle before between friends. I was just wasn't make sure that, you know, I was like just thinking about some kind of confirmation that you guys received.
I will send you an email back.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm sorry?
I will send an email back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what I was looking for. All right. Thank you.
So as I was saying that the when I would be in Spain, we would be at a workshop or a conference, and I have a camera set up. And I would say to the people sitting there as we're going to the conference, internet mañana. So they would all panic, like they're going to be on the internet, and I would just be taking some pictures of the people. So this is a little bit why asking Jack what's going to go on, and it occurs to me, okay, internet mañana. So any other questions before we go? Good to see you, Bill. Joe, you got anything on your schedule? Hi, Pat. Joe?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you. The topic tonight was one of those things where there weren't questions because everybody was almost overwhelmed. It was just such a wonderful thing. It really, really created a lot of thought.
More to come. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. But you got to sign up. Pretty soon we're going to close this to just members only. So make sure you get those applications in. And that's only fair. You're supporting us with your contributions, with your support, with your time. And so it's only fair. If somebody wants to come in from the outside, they can come to our service. But part of our community is being a community. And I don't plan what I'm going to say. I'm inspired. I have some other things I was looking at here on the other computer. But that's where we are tonight. And the same as this thing in the background, I don't have too many background video, what you call them, video backgrounds. Yeah, I don't have too many. This is my newer computer. I have my other one over there. And so I had like two or three choices here. This is a subconscious message. Douglas, go there. Okay, next week.
Okay. I think it means you need a vacation.
Yeah. That's true. However, I can't go anywhere until you guys get it right. I mean, you know, we're back to two pages now. What happened? Okay, so tonight was a bit of an experiment with our new camera and recording on Zoom, and this is taking preference to go to do our radio shows this way. But we haven't got all the bugs worked out yet, like having multiple people being able to talk at the same time. So we're not quite sure how to do that. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight, and about coming up to half past the hour, and it's an hour and a half we've been talking tonight just about. Thank you very much for your contributions. Remember, mmsc.usa@gmail, and you can do manymansions144@gmail.com for contributions, or you can do the PayPal on the manymansions.org website. Was that manymansionscenters.org, I guess. And then also the Hope Conferences. So have a look at that. And maybe we'll see you and us in Arizona. So with that, my friends, I'll say goodnight. Remember, God is watching over each and every one of you. May you be blessed with health, wealth, and peace of mind. May you find your inner way. May your life be comfortable, fulfilled, and blessed in all ways. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, we bless you. We ask for divine intervention always. And until we meet again, go with God. Amen, amen, and amen. Good night, everybody. I'm going to sign off. So I think this is going to end our experiment. Well, actually, this is Jack. It's your show, isn't it, tonight? Or how do we get here?
It's all done. We're done.
Okay. Good. So if I hit end here, it's going to end for everybody then, right?
It will. Yep.
Okay. Tell everybody about us. Tell them to come and join up with us. If they had problems when they were going to church when they were a kid, this is where the church is now, because we've all had issues. This is the Nouveau Interfaith Christian-based Illuminate the Christ Teachings, the Truth, the Virtue Healing. This is the place. And we're finding our way. This is the place. With that, good night, my friends. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindProbe Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell and Associates Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission. Are you ready to experience life-changing wisdom, spiritual insights, and transformative knowledge? Come to the next Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th at the Holiday Inn Suites Phoenix Airport North with special conference rates for attendees. Go right now to hopeconferences.org for all the details. Powerful healing techniques and spiritual guidance for your personal growth. Interactive questions and answers with Douglas James Cottrell and other experts. Insights into coming global events and predictions through a spiritual lens. The Hope Conference brings together like-minded people to provide them with the tools they need to unlock their full potential. Come to the Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th. Go now to hopeconferences.org. That's hopeconferences.org for all the details. Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice.